NAPT programming support is provided in part by News from Indian Country, the only Indian-owned and operated, reservation-based, national independent newspaper in the country. www.indiancountrynews.net.
Welcome to Producer Profiles, a production of Native American Public Telecommunications, with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Here's NAPT production assistant Ben Kramer.
Lucas Corver is a director of photography with an extensive background in commercial film work. His clients have included Walmart and Vans. But his real passion is for documentary filmmaking. His new documentary, The Medicine Game, is a coming-of-age story about Onondaga brothers Jeremy and Jerome Thompson, two of the best lacrosse players in America. The brothers grew up in a world within a world, living in the sovereign Onondaga Nation located in New York State. The film follows the brothers as they finish high school and work through the obstacles that stand between them and their dream of playing collegiate lacrosse for powerhouse Syracuse University. Here's the interview from May 2012.
Lacrosse is, I'd say, the vehicle for the story. It's kind of what's driving everything along, but it's not what the movie's about. It just happens to be that these two amazing kids are lacrosse players. I mean, lacrosse is what got me interested in doing a story about them, but I soon realized that this is way bigger than lacrosse. You know, it's about so many other things. So lacrosse is their dream. It's their life. It's part of their religion. It's part of their culture, part of their history. They're two of the top players in the entire country, the entire world, at this sport.
In the following soundbite from The Medicine Game, Onondaga Community College lacrosse coach Chuck Wilbur talks about the first time he saw the Thompson brothers play in a game.
You know, it was just unbelievable, incredible what they could do at such a young age. And I look down at the roster and, you know, I see them ninth grade. I was just, open your eyes up. Well, who are these kids?
Jeremy Thompson, the recipient that time through.
I've been around all the high school programs across the country, and I don't think there's two better players in the country.
How did you first come across the Thompson family and become involved with them?
A friend of mine who's helping with the film, Jason Halpin, him and his friend of his, who's worked at the time for CBS Sports, were talking back and forth, hey, we should do a doc on Native American involvement in Syracuse lacrosse because it's gone back since the 60s. Some of the best Native players have gone on to play for Syracuse. So there's a pretty nice marriage between the Onondaga Nation and Syracuse University lacrosse. So we thought we'd kind of focus it on that. And so they brought the idea to me, and I said, well, that's a great idea, but let's pick one family or one athlete to focus on. Let's make this a character-driven piece. And just so happened that my brother was the biology teacher at Lafayette High School. So I talked to him. I said, hey, can you talk to the coach at Lafayette? This is because Lafayette is where all the Native kids from the Onondaga Nation go to school. And I said, can you talk to the coach and see if it'd be cool if we could, you know, maybe profile a few of the players on the team for a documentary? And the coach said, you got to do it on the Thompsons. They're just the best players on the team. They're amazing people. They come from an amazing family. They would be perfect for this movie.
In the following soundbite from The Medicine Game, Dee Thompson, Jeremy and Jerome's mother, talks about lacrosse and her family.
All we hear is lacrosse. Supper table, down a road, after a game. That's all we hear.
That's when they're the happiest, is when they're playing a game of lacrosse. You know, it's not the same without a lacrosse game going on.
So I had my brother one day just ask the Thompson brothers after class, said, hey, do you mind if my brother does a documentary on you? And they just said, kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, yeah, sure. So I'm living in L.A. now, and at the time I was as well, so just on a three-word, okay, yeah, we'll do it, I flew out to Syracuse and met the boys and started filming just their games and practices. And after one of the games, I think their father, Jai, he was like, hey, why don't you and Jason helping, the other guy helping produce the film, why don't you come by and, you know, have some pizza with us? Okay. So we went to the house and had pizza and kind of hit it off with the whole family. And I guess, like I said, I kind of fell in love with the family. And about 6 weeks later, I was living at their house. They opened up a bedroom for me, and so I lived about 3 months with them, you know, following their senior season and a little bit of the summertime.
There was a lot of pressure on the two brothers to succeed. Partly, I mean, they were very driven to succeed, but also from their father. And it was a surprise when there was a part of the in the film when the brothers had a fight towards the end of their senior year, and one guy shoved the other guy's head through a car window. What was it like being around that kind of tension?
The fight was very, very surprising. I don't think anyone saw it coming. I don't think the brothers saw it coming, their family. Up until then, they were the best of friends that you'd ever see. And the reason behind the fight isn't talked about in the film. I don't think they even know why they were fighting. I've asked them that, and I think it was a practical joke that went bad and bad timing. But up until then, I didn't sense any tension. I don't think anyone else did. And after that, it was pretty awkward because I was living with these guys as a guest in their home, friends with both of them, but they won't speak to each other. That was tough for me. It was tough for the family, you know, having to see them go through that. So I kind of had to split my time between the two of them and make sure, you know, as friends, that I didn't favor one over the other or pick a side.
And you had said that part of what brought you into this film was a previous interest in lacrosse.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't grow up around lacrosse. I mean, if you had told me 6 years ago, what's lacrosse? I'd be like, I think it's that game with the stick, with the net. I never really watched it before. The reason I got into it was I went to Syracuse University, and they're obviously a great lacrosse program, and I'm a sports nut. I love anything that has to do with sports. And when you can mix something culturally rich as Native American culture with lacrosse, then I think you really have something there, because sports stories are great, but there needs to be another layer behind it.
It seems that lacrosse is slowly gaining exposure in the U.S. Like, there's the National Lacrosse League, and being in Nebraska, which is a predominantly a football state, I've noticed that there are some kids actually in the Greek system and some of the fraternities who are playing lacrosse now, and they're crazy about that. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the relationship between the sport as it is being played and as people think about it and its connection to Native American culture.
That's a very good question, and I think there's a connect and a disconnect between the way the sport is played today and its Native American roots. The Native American roots go back thousands of years. They're mythical, they're historical. Everything from stories of the game being played by the animals, by the sky people. I mean, obviously, if that's the root of the game, it'll never connect to a sport played in 2012. But with that said, the reason behind the game, why it's played by Native Americans, is, and especially the Iroquois, it's a game to please the creator. The motion of the players, the happiness of the players, the energy of the players, their feet massaging the ground, this is all something that makes the creator happy. And it's all meant to please the creator and to keep the tribe healthy. And they also play a game called the medicine game, which is kind of obviously the name of the movie, something that you're actually not allowed to film, which I totally respect, but wish I could have filmed it, because it's a game that all the men and the boys play together. They play with a tobacco stuffed leather pouch, and there's a whole ceremony behind it that I'll never know about. And that game provides medicine for the people to ward off sickness and keep everyone healthy, and it's something they do, I believe, once a year, maybe even more if needed, if there's, you know, a reason to have another medicine game, you know, sickness or whatever the cause may be. So that's the root of the game. It's incredibly deep and has nothing to do with sport, really. But as far as it's played today, you know, the Natives played with wooden sticks, and now we play with plastic, and that's an object of contention between, you know, the old school Native players. The rules are made up by a bunch of people down in Maryland. You know, that's kind of the central headquarters of USA lacrosse. So there might be some contention there that, you know, their rules aren't the way the Natives possibly might want the game to be played. But I think from the interviews I've done, Native Americans that I've spoken to, they want the game to flourish. They want as many people to play the sport, Native or American or European or Australian, Scottish, whoever. They just want the game to be enjoyed by everybody, and it's not something that I think the Iroquois are trying to hold for themselves. They want the game to be played and people to have fun with it and played with a good mind and not to harm each other, you know, because it can be a pretty rough sport.
When it comes to the players themselves in the film, one of the brothers talks about, and he's in the locker room at this point, I think there was a voiceover, but he's talking about his attitude towards the game versus, say, the attitude of a white player, and how, because of the sort of spiritual connection that he has to the game, that it's almost like there's more meaning of lacrosse in his mind to him than there might be to one of his, the guy, another guy on his team, and that because of that, that's what makes him essentially a superior player. What about their background do you think makes them such great players?
I think the Thompson brothers kind of grew up in the perfect environment to raise an elite lacrosse player. And what I mean by that is Jai and D. Thompson had four sons right off the bat, all within, you know, a year or 2 years apart. So you have four guys, pretty much you can go play two-on-two right off the bat, 20 hours a day if you wanted to. So you've always got a bunch of guys to play with. You grow up in the Onondaga Nation, which has been home to some of the greatest lacrosse players ever to play. You've got the tradition and the history there. You're Native American, you're Iroquois, so lacrosse is the number one sport by a landslide. And then you've got a father, Jai, who played semi-professionally, who's an amazing coach, one of the smartest people I've ever met on and off the sidelines. So I think all three of those factors are all enhanced by the fact that lacrosse is such an important part of their culture. They've been taught that this game pleases the Creator. It's good for their mind. It's good for their soul. It's almost like going to church.
In the following soundbite from the Medicine Game, Jerome describes how he and his brother play the game of lacrosse.
We play the game for the Creator, to make Him happy. So in order to make Him happy, we have to play the game the way it's meant to be played, with a clear state of mind, to go out there and just play your hardest. And that makes us different players, because we're not out there just to go and run around.
One, two, three, let's run!
We're out there for a purpose. We're out there to play hard and play with fun and play with some passion for the Creator.
And are you Native?
No, I'm not.
What was it like being a non-Native and working on this film in a Native community?
I grew up an hour and 20 minutes south of the Onondaga Nation, and I knew next to nothing about it. Didn't know anybody from there. I remember seeing a few guys playing lacrosse or Syracuse that were from there, but knew absolutely nothing about it. The only thing I'd heard was negative things, that, oh, if you go on the res, you're going to get beat up, you're going to get your car stolen, your car set on fire, Natives don't like you, they don't want you there, they're all mean. These are things that I heard directly, indirectly, just kind of the stigma that was out there. So it was just really good to see things from my own eyes and see that not only were none of those things true, but they were complete 180 from the truth. I mean, the nicest people you'll ever meet, the biggest hearts. This community is just so supportive of one another. I wish more communities in New York State were like the Onondaga Nation community. I mean, we'd be in much better shape all around if that were the case. Living with them for 3 months, you know, I didn't have a car there, so they called me the fifth Thompson brother. That was really fun, just to be accepted, you know, so easily and just kind of to fit right in. It was really cool to kind of have almost a second family. I don't see how I would ever be able to experience anything like that ever again.
On your website, it's obviously you've done a lot of work for numerous companies, Omega Watches, Walmart, and you've got examples of your work, including there's a Vans shoe piece on the BMX rider Stephen Murray, who became paralyzed in a crash, and right next to a film clip of Justin Timberlake on a photo shoot for a fragrance line. And then there's the Medicine Game right in there as well. And so how does all that fit together, and how does this documentary and your documentary work fit in with your more commercial work?
The commercial work is a great way to kind of hone your skills, pay the rent, make connections, learn about new gear, learn about new ways of doing things, test out styles of shooting, styles of editing, directing. I really like doing the commercial work, but my heart is in the documentary stories. So although they're very similar, I think I'm always looking for the next documentary story or the next nonfiction piece. Like the Vans pieces that you speak of, those are very cool because although they're commercial, they're for Vans Corporation. They have a huge heart behind them. They're about people giving back and people overcoming the odds. And I think that's a very good example of where you can blend a commercial production with the documentary, not only style of shooting, but a documentary sensibility where you're looking not just at the first layer of everything. You're trying to find the heart of the story. And I think that's kind of the underlying theme of documentaries, at least for me, is that they've got a heart.
That was Lucas Korver talking about his most recent documentary, The Medicine Game. Today, the Thompson brothers are professional lacrosse players, playing for indoor and outdoor leagues in America and Canada. For a trailer and more information about the Medicine Game, visit lucascorver.com and the Coming Attractions page at nativetelecom.org.
Support for this program was provided by Native American Public Telecommunications through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Interviews were conducted and edited by Ben Kramer. Theme music written and performed by Jim Boyd. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of NAPT's Producer Profile.
Support for NAPT's Producer Profile is provided in part by IndianCountryTV.com, producers of the Native News Update with anchors Paul DeMaine and Kimberly Acosta.